Wow, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Ah, okay. Thought maybe you were asleep. Okay, good. Say, Jesus loves me. Now, let's say it with a little conviction. Jesus loves me. Do you believe it? Do you really believe it? All right. See, when we talk about gifts, I don't know what to say. How's that? I have no clue what to say. Because all gifts are given by the Father, and they're His. All we are is just using them. That's a good way of looking at it. And I have no idea, day to day, what gifting is going to take place. Day by day. But I can tell you, the start of my journey is that really got my attention when God got it, is when He opened my eyes to see demons. And that was a stretch. Well, maybe it was a big stretch, okay? And I'm thinking, what are those things? Because I didn't believe in them. I really didn't believe in them. And I'm thinking, that can't be what I think they are, you know? And as more and more piled into the room, the heaviness that came with them started just pushing down on me. And the room got blacker and blacker. And I'm thinking, I don't think these are supposed to be spirits because I'm not supposed to see spirits. And so my mind's turning. My mind's just really turning. And next thing I know, I'm thinking, well, since they're coming right at me, and since they seem to be interested in me, there's something here that I don't know. And the Word of God, because when you open the Word and put it in your heart, it comes, flows out, right? And it just came to me, if you don't know anything, just call in the name of Jesus. And I said, Jesus, Jesus, help me. I don't know what else to say. And you know, what was interesting about that, looking back on it now, is the room was almost total black by then. And out through this blackness, I seen this pale blue light in the corner start growing. And it just started expanding as these demons are running towards me. And all of a sudden, they just all disappeared. And I said, all right. The weight lifted. They're all gone. I said, this is good. Now, that must have been my imagination. I didn't see that. See how the devil tries to trick you up no matter what? Am I not speaking loud enough?
Not for me.
Not for you? I'll try to speak a little louder, okay? And I bring that into the point of starting out there is that was my journey in God as far as what He started doing with me and started giving me gifts that I was aware of. Up to that point, I was just serving God. And I didn't really think about the gifts. I didn't think about how all of us are gifted by Him and the uniqueness of that gift in each of us. But all of a sudden, it opened my eyes. And it's been a journey since then. Quite a journey. In, what is it, Exodus 14, I think it is. I better look, make sure. Yeah, Exodus 14, you have the Israelites leaving and getting up next to the sea, and they turn around and they see the army coming towards them, and all of a sudden they start complaining, you know, to Moses. Why didn't you let us die? Why did you bring us out here to die, you know? And they start complaining, and the interesting part in verse 15 that really caught my attention, as the Lord said to Moses, why are you crying out to me? Now, to me, before I read this, it seemed like, this is, man, all this is going on. Why not cry out to God? But see, Moses was called out. He was gifted by God for the purpose that God had put in him from before he was ever born. He had all the things that God gave him to do the job that God led him to do. And here he is, the Lord saying, why do you cry out to me? And I think that's the way it is with gifts sometimes, is we see gifts and we cry out to God saying, I like that gift that person has. I'd like to have that gift. You ever done that? Nobody. Am I the only one in here? Okay. Let's get some interaction going here. Okay. But God has put into us from the very beginning exactly what he created us for all eternity, not just for this life, all eternity. Now, does that boggle your mind? It does. And if I understand the word right, we have at least two, maybe three gifts automatically that he's put into us from way back before we were ever born. And some have multiple giftings. Because as we move forward in him, in our relationship with him, he gives more. He increases. And we move in that part. I believe so. I really believe so. So, Father, today, as we journey in your word here, as we journey in you, we just ask that, Lord, that you show us your way. Not my words, but your words. That you put the things in us that you have put in from the beginning to come alive. So, Lord, today I just pray that as we are thinking about giftings, and we're thinking about our relationship in you, that you just bring it all alive in each and every one of us. And, Lord, whatever is in my mind, whatever is in my heart, whatever is in my whole being, may it be totally in you. And whatever is of the past stays in the past, Lord, and let me walk this day that you gave me in you for your will in all things. So, Lord, I pray for each person here that the words that you're giving me, the things you're showing me to speak about, will be something that they can take and help them because you are bringing it forth. So I give you praise and I thank you for being my God, for my redemption through Jesus Christ, and the avenue of just talking to you. Amen. So those that came and I talked the other night, I said I was going to do this a little different. So I don't know what that meant, so that's what I said. So now I have an idea of what we're going to do. And I want to start with the humor of God a little bit. God's humorous, is he not? He is. And he has lots of fun. And he gives lots of joy to us in his joyful times. And so just to put you at ease, or maybe put myself at ease, I'm going to start this place, okay? In Jamaica, I was been ministering all day, and we were driving back towards Kingston, and I was thirsty, dry, hot, and I had absolutely no money. And the two people that were with me had no money. And so I just, in my mind, I said, Lord, it would sure be nice to have a cold drink. Now, doesn't it sound good, you know, when you're hot and thirsty? Yeah, you know, I just, oh, it's good. And immediately my mind says, take out your wallet. And I'm thinking, I don't have anything in my wallet. And so I just kind of ignored it for a minute. Pretty soon that thought hit again, take out your wallet. So I reached in and I took it out and I opened it up and had three $100 bills in it, Jamaican. That's basically $1. Okay. But I had $3 if you don't look at it that way. It wasn't there before. And so I turned to Pastor Joseph, who was driving, and I says, have you been putting money in my billfold? And he got, you know, oh, I haven't touched your billfold, you know, that type of thing. And I said, well, look here, because he knew I had absolutely no money. And I opened up, and his eyes got big. And I says, so where'd this come from? He said, there's only one place. I said, yeah. I said, so find a place to pull over, and let's get something cold to drink. Okay? God is so good. He just takes care of us. And that cold drink was so refreshing. And since I was on a run that day, we drove through Kingston. We got to the church on the other side that I was going to be speaking at that night. And on the way, I said, you know, I've been praying. I've just been praising God. And I said, Lord, I have not seen a mongoose up close because I've seen them run across the road. You know what a mongoose is? Mongoose? I said it wrong? Okay. There we are. Get the right word. Okay? I hadn't seen one up close. And I said, I would like to see one up close. So we get this church, and I walk off the side because we were a little bit early. And I was just standing there just praising God. And all of a sudden, one comes out of the bush and stands about as close to that chair to me. You know? And I said, ah. You're so good, Lord. And I sat there and looked at him, and he got up on his haunches and looked at me, and I started laughing. And Pastor Joseph is in the church building. He says, what are you laughing about? I said, come here. And he came out of the building, and he stopped. And he says, they don't do that. And I says, yeah, but when God sends them, they do. You know? And so he was sitting there looking at him with me, and next thing I know, another one walks out and sits there and gets up on his hind the same way. So now I got two. And then I just died laughing because I knew that God was taking care of me, God was listening, and God was showing me great favor. And I know it's a simple thing, but at the time it was so neat. It was so neat. We have no idea how God is working our lives. We have no idea of the way that He is moving things to show us favor, to take care of us, and put us on the path that He wants us on. Sometimes, you know, when I look at a gift, is a gift only what it says in the Scripture, or is a gift anything that He gives? What would you say? That's the way I look at it. It's everything He gives. And He's giving all the time. All the time. In Romans 10, nope, went the wrong place. I wrote it out because I wanted to read it in a different version. I think I wrote it out in this one. Romans 12, 6 through 8. Let me read this. If I can read my handwriting. And this is out of the Passion Translation. And so if you want to follow through and you kind of look at it in whatever translation you have. God's marvelous grace imparts to each of us varying gifts and ministries that are uniquely ours. So if God has given you the grace gift of prophecy, you must activate your gift by using the proportion of faith you have to prophesy. If your grace gift is serving, then thrive in serving others well. If you have the grace gift of teaching, then be actively teaching and training others. If you have the grace gift of encouragement, then use it often to encourage others. If you have the grace gift of giving to meet the needs of others, then may you prosper in your generosity without fanfare. If you have the gift of leadership, be passionate about your leadership. And if you have the gift of showing compassion, then flourish in your cheerful display of compassion. Verse 9, let the inner movement of your heart always be to love one another and never play the role of an actor wearing a mask. Despise evil and embrace everything that is good and virtuous. I like the way this reads in Passion Translation. Passion Translation. Passion. So, what I like about it, it just puts words that just seems to hang in the air around me. And that's what I like about it. But it emphasizes things. And so when I started looking and studying about gifting, God took me many different places. But it kept coming back to two things all the time. It kept coming back to the Holy Spirit and faith. Do we believe? Do we walk in the belief? And, of course, what Becky talked about, obedience, is in there too. But those two things he kept take me to the whole time I was studying about this. And so when I started looking at my journey, and that's what I'm going to share with you a little bit, is my journey. I started looking back and thinking, well, how did I walk in this, or what did I not walk in? And so what I realized is every place that God sent me, every place that I end up teaching or preaching or healing, whatever is going on, he was showing me something new every time. Because I don't pay close attention sometimes, I didn't really catch that. But I was going back and I was really looking and started seeing things. For instance, first time I went into Jamaica, I went with Mike Cook. And he asked me to go. And 3 days before we left, I cut my leg with a skill saw and I had all kinds of stitches. And I was already sick. And I go taking off to Jamaica. And we get in there, and I mean, the heat was just killing me, and I was having trouble with my body because being sick, and then my leg was in a lot of pain. And we drive up to this place, and I said, what are we doing here? Because it was a school. And Mike says, you're speaking here. And I says, what? What are we speaking to or what? I mean, no information, right? He says, you're speaking. He says, this is a group of young people that's sponsored by the local magistrate, okay? So we walked in the school, and I'm thinking, you know, 4 or 5 kids maybe or something, right? And there must have been 100 kids there. And so I went and found the person in charge, and I says, what's the order? How do you want me to do this? And she says, oh, we'll put you on just as soon as we do announcements, and you just speak. And I says, well, how long do you want me to speak? She says, well, I'd really appreciate it if you wouldn't go over 3.5 hours. Now, I'm not prepared in any way for this. My body was telling me this is not a good time for this. Okay? But all of a sudden, I get this thing, 3.5 hours? I've never been in a church service for 3.5 hours. Okay? And all this was running through my mind. And so I had just a few minutes while she was making announcements. And I'm thinking, God, what do you want me to talk about? So God gave me a topic, and I talked about that topic. And when I got done, I actually went little over an hour. I thought, man, I did really good. But this is what I did wrong. She gave an opportunity for 3 hours or 3.5 hours. When I stopped early, then they let somebody else get up and talk. And that person got up and talked, and the way they talked, the word was twisted. Twisted. They twisted the word. So by not fulfilling the opportunity that God gave, I missed an opportunity to speak into people's life and to speak the word of God into people's life true. And the point that I look back and think about it is, how easy would it have been to just read the Word of God? See, in my mind, I was thinking, I got to preach because that's what they're telling me to do, okay? But all I had to do is just open the Word and read. But in my mind, I had it set wrong. So I missed an opportunity that God gave. Now, there's good things out of that, too, but it's a learning experience. That's what I'm sharing with you, the learning experience. So in my gifting, if at that point, if somebody says, do you like to preach? I would say no. If you ask me today, I would say no. I love to teach, but I don't like to preach because I like interaction. I like to ask questions and go back and forth. Okay? And so God, in his ways of knowing everything, he knows I like small groups. So where did he start sending me? when he started sending me to different places in different countries. He sent me to small churches. Isn't that interesting? There's only been a couple times I've spoken at big churches. It's always been small churches. And so what he's doing is he's building my confidence. He's building up for me how to use what he has put into me and for me to recognize what he put into me. Instead of just getting up there and saying, oh, Lord, I need help. What do I do next? You know, because he does gift us. He gifts us big time. So while I'm in Jamaica, I'm going to say one more thing about Jamaica. I was at a little church. And the way it usually works when I travel is the Lord will wake me up somewhere around 3 or 4 in the morning, and he'll give me a word or a thought to speak on if I'm just preaching. I'm not talking about classes. And so I have a few hours that, you know, I have this word that get ready and preach on. Well, I was preaching at this church, and I never got any word that morning. We went to church. And I knew that I had 3 hours to preach. And I had no word to preach on. And so they were singing, and I was sitting there just praising God, saying, I'm ready, waiting for the word. No word. And then in their way of doing things in Jamaica and the churches there is they, before a person speaks, they always get up and read a chapter of the Bible, some whatever, however they pick it, I don't know. But this lady got up and started reading this chapter in the Bible. And just as soon as she started reading, I knew that I'm supposed to speak on offenses. And I said, all right, Lord, thanks for the word. You know, and so, man, I closed my eyes and started thinking about all the scriptures about offenses. About that time, I felt somebody pushing me. And I opened my eyes, and there's a whole group of people around me, and they were trying to push me out the door of the church. They did not want me to speak. The spirit was wrong. And they were pushing. And I'm sitting here and kind of back and trying to fight them, but there's a bunch of them around me, and they were just pushing me back, and I'm thinking, Lord, what do I do? What am I supposed to do? Next thing I know, every one of them was on the floor. Not only the ones pushing me, a whole bunch of them scattered throughout the church. And they just stayed on the floor. I step over them. It was my turn. I went up and I started preaching on offenses. And they laid there that whole time I spoke. They were awake, but they couldn't move. And everybody's kind of looking around, you know, while I'm speaking. And what had happened, and I didn't realize this, but what had happened is there was a battle going on in the church between the pastor and the associate pastor. And there became two different groups, and they were fighting. And so offense was big. Okay? So I spoke on offense.
On what?
On offense. Mm-hmm. And so the Lord, what he did, which is so cool, is he laid these people out on the floor so people know which ones to start praying and loving on and trying to bring back into his way of thinking. Isn't that cool? That was really neat. But the people there in this little church, they said, what are we supposed to do? And I says, you know, each person that God put on the floor, I said, you love them, you pray for them, and you encourage them to walk right with God. Yeah, isn't that cool? I like those type of things. Now, I don't know if that fits giftings, but that's the way God uses me all over the place. That's just the way things work. So, the first time I was called to Russia, I thought, do I really want to go to Russia? You know, I was a child of the Cold War, where we used to get under the desk and, you know, think about the bombs coming, the missiles and all those things, you know. And so, the Russians were enemies. Right? So do I really want to go to Russia? God, I don't know if I really want to go to Russia. I went to Russia. I was obedient, and I went. And when I got there, God just opened my heart. Every person I saw, I started looking inside their hearts. God was showing me pieces of their heart. And I started seeing people, how they're walking with God or not walking with God. I started seeing people that are going to pay a mighty price for their belief in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I just started weeping. Still hard today. Because God was so loving. He loves everybody. And he was teaching me to love everybody like he loved. And so I started loving on these people. And it was just amazing. Even though I didn't speak the language and they didn't speak English, they just started loving me back. And they'd follow me around. And we'd do things. And we would try to talk and try to share scripture, and it was a lot of fun. But it was at the same time, I kept looking at their hearts and saying, Lord, can that be changed? Can that circumstance be changed? And that's when it really got, the first time in my life, I think, really got important about prayer. Because I started to see what prayer does and how he answers prayer. You see, we walk in our fleshly eyes. We see things and we react to it, do it. But God has given us spiritual eyes that we're supposed to be looking at. And we're supposed to be seeing. So when you look at me or I look at you, what do you see? And see, when I walk and I see people and I don't know what the relationship with God is, I just start praying. And if I see people doing things, I know that they don't have a relationship with God or God reveals something, I just start praying. And when I see people hurting, I hurt and pray too. And over a period of time, what has happened is my heart has changed in his heart. And so my prayer started being, Lord, I want my heart to be in your heart and your heart and mine. And I pray that all the time. And I feel him. I feel his presence so strong. And in some circumstances, I know exactly what I'm supposed to do. And other times, it's not that way. But I feel him there. He's there. And every place he sent me since then, I get to go in and I start seeing hearts. And I don't know if that... I'm probably not explaining that, but what I mean by that is he gives me a picture of some of the struggles people go through at the time or some of the things that are going to happen to them and some of the things that are happening around them that affect their lives. And that's what I get to see. And so it really affects me because some of it is so, so bad, especially in certain countries. It's so bad. But I know that Jesus has a plan, and he's victorious. And I'm part of his plan, and whatever he has me doing, just starting to pray, is the big part of the plan. And then as I love on him, as I encourage him, as I walk with him, and even with the language barrier, just sharing the Bible, it's interesting how much you can share even with language barriers. Because they understand, or they feel, or God opens their heart to feel that you love them, and they let you get close. And it's just, that's the way it's been every place I've been. So I don't know if you'd call that a gift, but I would call it a gift. And that's the way he uses me. And I bring up Russia because Russia, in June of this year, had a law that was passed. And in that law, you cannot proclaim Jesus Christ in your home, on the street, any place, unless it's a approved church site. So that's the reason this country is hard on my heart right now, because the people I've worked with, they are now in that place that they have to make a decision. How do I follow Jesus? How do I teach? How do I go out and share Jesus to the lost? And you know what? We're not that far away in this country if we keep going like we're going. We're already losing the abilities to do it in certain places. There are people that I know there that are already have gone to jail.
What?
Have gone to jail. Okay? They are arresting people. If you have a home group in your home, or if you bring a bunch of people in and you start just open the word or start talking about Jesus, they will arrest you. And they put out these fines, and it's interesting way they did it is if somebody sees a bunch of people going to an apartment, for instance, and they call the police and say, hey, all these people are migrating here, and they go there and find out you're teaching Jesus or the word or however you want to say it, then you can go to jail and be fined, but half the fine goes to the person who turns you in. Okay? So they got a widespread network of people watching because everybody's needing money. Everybody's hurting. So think about that just a moment. Think about being in a country with what God has given you right now, where you're sitting in your chair right now. The gift that you know he's given you, the gift maybe you don't know he's given you, and the gifts that maybe you desire. And think about it, if you had a system where you cannot speak to Jesus in any way, to anybody, how would you do it? You see, our God is big. Our God is victorious. And he has everything planned out. Because people are going to hear about him. And there's always ways, but it boils down to, are we willing, as his people, to stand up? Are we really, 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 in our heart of hearts, ready to go in and say, no matter what the price, no matter what the circumstances, can I teach Jesus? Can I show you the love of Jesus? Can I show you the compassion, Jesus? Oh, I got serious on you, I'm sorry. But it is true. It's true. We here, in this culture, we are so passive. And yet, the word that we say, that we put on our hearts, the Jesus that we believe in says, we are to be passionate for him. We are to know the word. We're supposed to show his love and tell his word out and bring the lost in. And yet, we have methods and all that, and Jesus doesn't teach that. He teaches. He says, take me, take my word, and share it. It's so easy to do, to share a word. Last March, April, May. I don't know why God got me going here, but anyway, I went over to Russia for a 2-week class teaching pastors. And they had a facility that it's 3 stories. They have apartments in it, and they brought pastors in from all these different little villages. And they stay in the apartments, and then we teach on the 3rd floor. And we got there, and it was cold. There was no heat in the building, and it was cold. And I'm thinking, this is going to be hard teaching. But see, in their way of looking in their life, just because there wasn't no heat, it's no big deal. They just wrap up more, you know? And they sit there, and they want to write down every word that you say through the interpreter. And you're praying that that interpreter is putting the right words out there because you really don't know, okay? But this class, I got a very good interpreter. And God, my topic was prayer, And God says, we're going to have fun. And I'm thinking, what does that mean? And so we started doing fun things. Like, I taught them through the scriptures, taught them seven different ways that you can pray that God says he'll answer prayer. And so I got at that on their heart. And then we went to this, they had stairways, you know, three stories of stairs. And I said, I want you to start at the bottom stair, and I want you to start praying using those things. But I want you to start getting louder each step you go up. And everybody looked at me because most of these people were Kuriaks, and which is kind of like our Eskimos. And so they speak softly. And so they weren't quite sure, but they started out, and you couldn't even hear them. And as it kept going, it started getting a little louder. By the time they got to the third floor, people from other buildings were coming because they couldn't figure out what was going on, all the noise, okay? And they chuckled. They thought that was so fun, okay? But that's what God did. Every day I did something different. And as I was teaching, but the one that got me, that really sticks out in my heart, and my, when I told my wife, she didn't understand it, so I didn't probably say it right, so I'm going to try to say it so you understand it. Right, Deb? I love you. Anyway, I asked the group at break time, I said, go by your rooms, get a pillow, get a blanket, and bring it back to class with you. And so they came back to class, and I told the interpreter what I was going to do, and she said, Alan, they're going to go to sleep. And I said, that's the idea. And that's not the Russian way of doing things. And she says, we can't do that. And I says, it'll be fine. It'll be fine. So everybody got comfortable, and I says, I want you to move. I want you to lay down, get comfortable with your pillow and blanket, whatever. And most of them had trouble doing that at first, but then they got into it. And I said, what I want you to do is I want you to just say, Jesus, Jesus, or Jesus, I love you. And just over and over in your mind, just say it. And within a few minutes, they were all asleep. And I was happy because I knew that they were tired. And, you know, when you're going through different languages trying to do things, it's hard on you. And I knew they were tired and they were going to get... So I sit down on the floor and I just started praying. And the Holy Spirit came over me and the happiness that God was filling right then, I mean, I just started crying. I just started crying because this made God happy, that they were resting in him. And so I let him sleep for about a half hour, and I woke him up. And I, to the interpreter, I said, I want to know if any of them heard from Jesus. Well, if you do that in most places, you'll get a few people. This class, every single one of them had heard from Jesus. Every single one of them. And so I asked them if they had shared, and they started sharing. And I mean, the way Jesus talked to them differently, each person, because you're unique. Each person's unique. It was so amazing. And, of course, going through interpreter, I might not have been getting it exactly right, but, you know, but it was really neat to hear. So what about our gifts? How do we use our gifts that God gives us? And I believe right now it's just saying, Lord, I will do what you put on my heart to do. I am willing. I'm ready to do it. And if we're not really ready to do that, then I think your gifts are going to be stagnant. Now, I don't know why I picked that word, but that's where it came to me, stagnant. Because God wants us alive. God wants us to be rejoiceful in him and showing the passion of him. And when we use and walk in the gifting that he gives us, it's going to be amazing. Amazing. The world will start knowing. And people have talked already in this class about how we can go out and change the world. But God is wanting us to give us his gift. We have a gift through Jesus Christ that there's no limitations to. We limit it. I limit it in my mind all the time. But he has no limitations. If your gift is serving, then serve and serve happily. Be joyful, passionate, and watch what he does. Watch how he starts changing people around you. Because he does that. He does it. How much time do I have? I never paid attention. 3 minutes?
3.5 hours.
See, I'm just starting to warm up a little bit now. 4:30? Oh, man. I haven't even got started. Turn to Ephesians, if you would, please. Yeah. In Ephesians chapter 2, and I'm just going to read it. It says, in verse 8, it says, "For by the grace you are saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it is from God, it is God's gift, not from works, so no one can boast. But we are his creation, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared ahead of time so that we should walk with them." Do you get this? It's the we. See, Jesus put it all there. And he saved us. And we walk in the faith of it. And if you go down to chapter 4, I'm just going to skip over a little bit, but chapter 4 and verse 11, he said he personally gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, some teachers, for the training of the saints in the work of ministry to build up the body of Christ. To do what, folks? To build up. See, sometimes we think about gifts building us up. But the gifts are to build up the body of Christ. And the gift that I have versus what Kelly has comes together to make a stronger gift. And then you add the gift that Patty has and it becomes stronger. And then you add your gifts in there. Now we have a body that's alive in Christ Jesus because everybody's walking and using their gifts. And in this culture, we don't do much of that. And I don't want to go there, okay? "Until we all reach unity in the faith, in the knowledge of God's Son, growing into a mature man with a stature measured by Christ's fullness." There are so many scriptures that I could go through and just pick and talk about gifting. But it really boils down to, do you believe that you are created uniquely? You are created with a purpose by the living God. And if you do, then you have to believe, am I going to walk in it? Am I going to be obedient and go? And as we step out, as you exercise, if that's a good way of saying it, then the gifts change. I don't know how many gifts God gives me because each place I roll and do things differently than he shows me. And I don't even think about it. I mean, that's just the way the Spirit is. That's the way it works. But I do know that every place that he sends me, no matter how hard it is, no matter how much price I have to pay physically for it, he blesses the work there. He blesses it. If the people receive it, he really blesses it. You know, when I was real sick, when I was talking to God one day, I says, "God, do not give me the gift of healing. Because if I have the gift of healing, I'm just going to go out and heal everybody." Right? Because, you know, when you're sick for a long time, you have a lot of compassion in that area. Okay? So I figured, oh, God's going to listen to me and he's not going to give me that gift. Well, that's not what God did. God had his own purpose. And so I've got to over and over pray for people, and they've received healing. If you got to lay hands on them, they received it. Sometimes I don't even know it until later somebody tells me. The last trip in Russia, I was in a little church. No interpreter. I was in the foyer waiting for people to come in and waiting for the interpreter. And this lady come in, and she looked at me, and I looked at her, and she came up, and she grabbed my hands. And she tried to talk to me, and I, of course, didn't understand her. And I tried to talk to her, and she didn't understand me. And so she started singing a song. Hold my hands, sing a song in Russian. I had no idea what she was saying. But my body just started shaking all over. I mean, I was so moved by the Holy Spirit. It was so strong. And I'm thinking, what is going on here? I don't have a clue. I think I recognized her. I think I've seen her before, but I didn't know, you know. And so she got done. I'm sorry. I do that. I'm sorry. So she, when she got done, she gave me a hug, and she went on into the place of worship. And so the interpreter came, and I got up, and I gave the lesson for that evening there. And afterwards, I said to the interpreter, I said, this lady over here sang me a song, and I don't want to know why. And so she went over and talked to her and came back. And she said, Alan, do you remember her husband? And I says, no. Can you give me a little bit more, you know? And she says, last year when you were here, you prayed over her husband. And he was really sick with cancer. And I says, I remember. He was the one that looked like he was about ready to die right on the spot. And she says, that was probably him. Said, you prayed for healing in his body. And a few weeks after you left, he had complete healing. And so she wrote this song of praise to God over what God had did for healing her husband. And she waited until you came to sing it. Now, that was a great honor to me, but what was more important is how she honored God. You know, she used a gift, and she honored God with it. And I don't know about you, but those things just touch me. And I go in these places, in these countries, and you speak, and they say, well, are you willing to pray over somebody? And I say, yeah. And people line up for 3 or 4 hours for prayer. And you have not a clue. I've prayed in, with people that I don't even know what they were asking for. I just take hold of their hands and just be led by the Holy Spirit. I have not a clue what they want to say, because the only thing I have is what the Holy Spirit's given me. But it works. So I'm going to go back to Russia for this last one. We received a word. John Carney and I were there and in teaching the school. And we received a word about a little church that I'd ministered to the last 5 years. And this church was different from other Russian churches that I'd been to because they were so full of love. I mean, they were a loving church where most of the churches you go to, not that they're not loving, but they don't show their love because of the way the ruling party and things is. They don't show the outward emotion so much. But this church did. And so I loved going there and ministering to it, and that's what I did over and over. Well, we got this word, and we're thinking, this is not a good word. How are we going to present this word? So instead of me trying to explain it, I'm just going to read and see what you get out of it and see what you would do. The verse he gave was Colossians 4:17. It said, be sure to give octopus, I can't say it now, I'm too dry. This message. Be faithful to complete the ministry you receive from our Lord Jesus and don't give it to into your problems until they yield the victory God intends for you to have. To the church, he says, you are defined by your challenges As a people, you are defined by the challenges you face, which keeps you looking away from your hope and rest. You are surviving in your circumstances. You are stronger than you think and wiser than you believe you are, so you remain. Caught in the situation, you know how to escape from. You are passively living in divided loyalty. Loyalty has left you stranded in a fixed state, passively watching opportunities pass you by because it would require shifting alliances and commitments, which would require severing connections to others. I will have a victorious church here. This is a place of the head and not the tail. Where you dwell on the heights, a place where people of unmovable faith stand, I will have a church here sustained enough to impact this community. My presence with you will make you a people of influence in this community, establishing you as a lighthouse of hope and a safe haven of hospitality. I will establish my kind, gentle presence and fellowship with the people here. I view you with a kind affection. I am searching for a place of shared fellowship with you. I want you to be my people here. Will you respond to my overtures of love, or must I remove you and make room here for those who share my desires for this place? Is that strong? He shows so much love in this message. But at the very end, he says, if you're not willing, I'm going to move you. You're not going to be here. We went to this church, and through interpreter gave the message, and everybody was smiles and happy. And I knew in my spirit that they didn't get it. They didn't receive the word. So John and I went back, and we talked about how to do this. And so we redid it, and we came up with how to put letters out and kind of show them how to do it. And so we went back to the pastor and his family the night before we could speak again, and we said, look, this is what God said. It is serious. And we spent hours trying to work through the Russian-English translation back and forth, and you could see the light was starting to gleam in his eyes a little bit. He was getting it. And God, in all his grace and wonder, he brought the interpreter that I had for my class over, and she is really good. And we showed it to her, and she could read English to Russian, Russian to English. She was just really good. And she says, I got it. And so when we presented again, man, the people's faces were not happy. They got it. They got the message. And we end up praying for everybody in that church. Everybody came forward to be prayed for. And they have a whole bunch of things they're going to have to do to change. But the message went out to them. And then I come home, and the law goes in effect, and they're not able to go out on the streets anymore and teach. They're not able to teach in their homes, according to the law, but they can teach on the hill in this church building. And what did God tell them? Show hospitality. See, he opened a door for them already. He says, take your love and go out and invite people in hospitality-wise. Think outside of the normal ways you're doing things. Because in the church, if the people come to the church, they can teach in the church. They just can't teach outside. I don't know if this little journey is helpful to you or not, but the point that Lord put on me was we're in a time that we can't mess around anymore. We're in a time that we have to stand up and we have to live our faith. And he is giving us gifts with power, mighty power, to do it. But we have to believe. We have to reach for it. And folks, in this country, we haven't been reaching that much. And I'm in the same boat. For a long time, I didn't believe this way. But God has slowly been changing me as he sends me to different places. He's opening up the gifts. He's opening up the way I believe the gifts work and think. And it's not about up here. It's about here. See, it's all heart. My way of doing things is I like to read it and understand it up here and do something with it. But what he said is, let my Holy Spirit lead you from your heart. So you all have beautiful gifts. You're all uniquely designed. And you might not know what your gift is. If that's the case, it's real easy. All you have to do is ask him. Because he'll show you. He will show you. And if you still have him struggle, get with another person. And let them intercess for you in that place. And you'll get it. But we are people that love the Lord so much that nothing else matters. We are supposed to be flowing in him. And if we're trying to live a life in this flesh, the things that we see in the flesh, be happy in the flesh, then we've missed it. Because the flesh doesn't make any difference. God will give us everything we need in the flesh. He said, I am your provider. And he is. He'll take care of us. What he wants us to do is start looking at eyes that are only on him, in him, and let him start expanding us. This place, if we'd use our gifts in Ketchikan, Alaska, this place would be so different. We have all kinds of problems here because the enemy has a hold. Because we passively set back and not use what God has given us. And if we step out and start using what God has given us, I don't care if it's just starting from the simple prayer, this place would change. We'd have change with marriages. We'd have change with people. We'd have a change with the things that the enemy controls. And pretty soon, the enemy would run. If we stood firm in the Lord like we say we are, and we believe in him, the enemy will not be in Ketchikan, Alaska. He'll be gone. Do you believe that?
Yes.
I believe with all my heart. And I have started praying differently about that. Because that's what God has put on my heart. I don't know what God's putting on your heart. But each of us have a place. Each of us have a purpose here. But I'm an individual, and I can't do it alone. It takes us tied together as a body to do it. We are supposed to be brothers and sisters. We are supposed to be a family walking in the grace, love, and mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he gives such great joy and peace as we walk in it. The world might not look at it that way, but it is great. So before I start preaching, I'm going to stop. And I pray today that something touched your heart. Something touched your heart. I will say one more thing. I just hit it. Didn't think I was going back to Russia. They said, no, you cannot come. You can't come anymore. That's been heavy on my heart because people I know there that I love, I know what they're going through. I can see it. And there's one man that last time I left, I seen him and I hugged him and what God showed me was him in jail. And then I found out I would not be going back. Yesterday, I get a phone call. And the church that sponsored where I teach over there, they said, we would like you to come back. You cannot teach. You cannot preach. But we'd like you to go home to home and pray with the saints. home to home. So right now I'm praying that that door is going to open. What an opportunity. What God will have me do there, I have no clue. But I know that if I go, it's in His purpose. And I'll use whatever He's put in me to use for His glory. God bless you. Thank you.